This is Audible.
Sparks Like Ours. Written by Melissa Braden. Narrated by Melissa Sternenberg. Chapter 1. Nothing kicked off Gia Malone's Monday more than charging waves the size of buildings. As she stood on the boat just off the tiny little island in the South Pacific, her heart pounded with a thrum, thrum, thrum of adrenaline-laced anticipation. Those were world-class waves out there, and she had a major crush on them. She paused a moment to drink in the gorgeous view, 14 footers at least, rising and breaking left like visual poetry. This was why she loved to surf. Even though she was ready to lose herself in those barrels, she made a point to slow down and keep her head calm. A decent breeze crept in and tossed her long, dark hair around, into her eyes and out again. Mostly she surfed with her hair down. The feel of it whipping against her face and back was part of her process. Rituals were important to Gia. They kept her steady and alert in the face of pressure. She'd arrived in Tavarua, the heart-shaped island resort in Fiji, 2 days before the outer known Fiji Women's Pro was set to begin. With the extra time, she'd been able to reacquaint herself with the conditions at Cloudbreak, one of the resort's 7 surf breaks, and get her head in the game before the tournament. Jumping off a plane and onto a surfboard to compete at the world's highest level was a thing of the past. Rookie mistake. Arriving early before a competition was now another ritual. She'd taken a few waves on the head during practice the day before, but overall she was stoked with the conditions in Fiji. The colors were brilliant, and the energy that came with this particular tournament was palpable. It was the 4th of a total of 10 tournaments in the Women's Championship Tour, in which the top 17 female surfers in the world battled it out throughout 9 months of the year, jockeying for position, prize money, and, more importantly, the claim that they were the top female surfer in the world. For Gia, that number one spot was everything, and she was so close. No time for daydreaming. She grabbed her board, hopped off the boat that had carried her to the surf break, and paddled out a distance to where she'd encounter the bigger waves. Next came the waiting, when that pent-up energy gathered like a tight little ball in her stomach. This was the calm before the euphoria. Nothing good ever happened in her comfort zone, which made high-level surfing the coolest drug she'd ever experienced. The seconds ticked by as she waited for her wave. Not that one. Nope, too squirrely. Not that one either. It would fizzle early. Then she found some size heading her way. Okay, yeah. She felt good about this one, its speed, the way it moved. She and that wave were bonding. She zeroed in and made the call. This was it. Paddling for all she had in her, she set off, charging the wave, studying its swell, its breaths, the way it shifted. Once she'd found her position, she pushed herself up on the board to a standing position and started to glide, savoring the feeling of floating on air. Perfection. This was what it felt like to be on top of the world, and there was no greater joy. She took the briefest of moments to relish the power of the wave pushing through her board, propelling her onward. She checked her balance, crouched low, rode the turn. The breaking wave opened up, hollow and glorious, allowing entry to the barrel. While she'd love nothing more than to lose herself in the surreal experience, any loss of focus when the stakes were so high could result in her coming right off the board. A balancing act in more ways than one. For Gia, this was a form of church. She honored the waves with the respect they deserved. After a solid workout, she trudged to the shoreline from the boat, out of breath, muscles on fire, and on the kind of high she only encountered from waves in this part of the world. She spotted a couple of the tour's regular reporters watching her approach, most likely having assessed her session. The core grouping of press tended to be courteous enough when it came to practice time, giving her space. But now she'd be forced to walk past them on her way to change and shower at the resort. Part of the gig she hated most, trying to sound like a human in front of those guys. She didn't do the whole public speaking thing well. Sucked at it, actually. The few years since she'd been boosted from the qualifying tour to the championship tour, she'd gotten a little better. But, God, not much. You ready for tomorrow, Gia? She pushed her hair out of her eyes and squinted at Shoshana, a staff writer from Surfline.com. Short in stature, spiky red hair, and tiny glasses she couldn't possibly see anything out of. They did look cool, though, which was probably the point. That was Shoshana. Never felt better. She continued walking because she felt awkward and out of her element, but the comment didn't seem to be enough. Shoshana scurried after her, doing double time due to their height difference. You're looking a little cautious out there, more so than usual. Any particular reason? She forced a smile. You gotta save something for the competition, right? The guy who'd been standing with Shoshana, whose name Gia didn't know, walked with them. Gia, Charlie Kip from Surftastic. Quick question for you. You've had a great season so far, currently number 3 in the world. With number 4 Alia Fawz injured, what do you think your chances are to take the whole thing this week? It could happen. Do you think El Britton would agree with you? She suppressed an eye roll at the mention of the leaderboard's current number 1. It was a provocative question, and she wasn't going to take the bait and speculate. Hey, I just want to surf my best, you know? That's what I'm planning to do. The rest is out of my control. She knew it was the boring answer. Luckily, the reporters caught sight of Elle Britton and her signature blonde ponytail through the glass in the lobby and raced her way like bees to their queen. Elle always gave them fantastic stuff, sparkling quotes laced with wit and charm and humor. She was born to play the part of media it girl. If Gia didn't loathe the woman so much, she might be impressed. As she entered the lobby of the resort herself, she watched as Elle burst into a smile and pulled Shoshana into a hug and squeal combo. A squeal? Really? And just look at her. She was pretty sure Elle had spent some time in the mirror, just to be ready for the attention she'd pull in the lobby. The peppy, fresh-faced look was why she landed gum commercials and late-night talk shows. Elle was not only the number 1 ranked female surfer in the world, she was the darling of the tour. Well, to everyone who didn't know any better. Underneath it all, Elle was plastic, opportunistic, and on her way to losing that ranking if Gia had anything to say about it, perky ponytail or not. Elle caught her eye as she passed through the lobby. Hey, Gia! She beamed. All part of the show Gia knew all too well. Elle, she said back evenly. Best of luck this week. You're gonna kill it, I know. Shoshana and Surftastic Guy beamed at her. What a fantastic sport she was. What support she showed. 3 cheers for the marvelous Elle Britton. I do too, Gia said, and breezed by them with a nod. She closed her eyes briefly and glanced back to the surprised looks on the riders' faces. Not her best moment, but she couldn't resist. She didn't do fake. She wouldn't. And with Elle, that's all there was. Had the reporters not been there, she probably wouldn't have said a word to Gia. Maybe there would have been a smile, but it would have been just as plastic as she was. Once Gia was safely on the elevator, she texted one of her best friends, Hadley, back in L.A. I was a cocky asshole to Elle Britton in front of the reporters. Hadley, always Gia's number 1 supporter, was quick to type back. Maybe they didn't notice? They did. I'm the resident bitch now. Impossible. Come home soon, please. Autumn equals pregnant and full of emotions, and Isabel equals workaholic, who is not paying enough attention to me. Gia smiled at Hadley's description of their other 2 best friends. As pressure-filled as those tournaments were, she took comfort in the knowledge she had a soft place to fall when she returned home to Venice Beach in L.A. Hadley and Isabel also lived at Seven Shores, the same apartment complex she did. And Autumn owned the badass adjacent coffee shop, the Cat's Pajamas. They were an unlikely foursome, given how different their personalities were, how widespread their occupations, but for whatever reason, they just clicked. She typed back her response. Give me 5 days and I'm there.
Don't kill E.B., Hadley wrote. I'd miss you in jail.
No promises. She was kidding, of course. Kind of. Over the next few days, she watched one competitor after another fall from the tournament as the excitement about her chances grew. The further she went at Outerknown, the more points she'd be awarded toward her ranking. This was an important tournament to Gia, who didn't relax until she was the last one on her side of the board, right across from Elle Britton. Wouldn't you know it? While it would have been nice for Elle to go down early and not pull in the points, if Gia pulled out a tournament win, she would still take home more, moving her up a spot on the tour's leaderboard to number 2. She closed her eyes and imagined how amazing that would feel. To win. She'd pulled in a handful of finals showings before, but it was the whole tournament she wanted. Ousting every other competitor she'd come up against and having the best year of her career, Gia still knew how hard it would be to take down Britton. The woman was a surf machine and had the kind of shred and tenacity that made legends. Even Gia couldn't deny her that, Barbie doll smile or not. The crowd was a vocal one that Saturday morning of the finals. The beach was packed, and Gia could hear their cheers of support, mainly for Al, all the way out in the water. She was the underdog in this matchup, and everyone knew it. The waves weren't as generous as they'd been earlier in the week, so selection would be key. Elle had drawn first priority and would go first. She snagged a high arc and rode the front, carving into the pocket, taking it to the inside corner and ripping hard off the top for a fantastic first time out. Shit. That ride would pull in a big number from the panel of 5 judges who would score it on a scale of 1 through 10. Each competitor's top 2 waves from the heat would be added together to come up with their final score. Gia could take on as many waves as she could get in the heat's allotted 25 minutes, but 2 of them better be awesome. Gia's turn. She paddled forward. Her first wave fizzled early and would score low. Not something she could control, so she shrugged it off and wiped her eyes, clearing them of the salt bath they'd just received. But her second time out yielded quality. She set up a frontside wrap in the pocket and came away feeling good, adrenaline surging. Her exit had been masterful. Yes, she'd just killed it on that one. Exactly what she'd needed. That would push her into the lead. She and Elle exchanged a nod across the water. That contact only made Gia want the win more. She cleared her head and prepped herself for the remaining minutes in the heat as the crowd screamed louder. Elle had ground to make up and struggled to find any real foothold on her next 2 attempts. On what would be one of the last waves in the heat, Elle didn't fully take advantage, playing it safe. Her timing was off. Gia couldn't take it anymore and followed Elle out to her wave once she'd failed to capitalize. She stuck to the rules, however, and stayed out of Elle's way, honoring her priority. Gia made a meal out of the killer crest, shredding her way down with S-turns to the bottom like a champ. The heat concluded, and with a total score of 16 to Elle's 14, Gia Malone took the whole damn thing. Holy hell. The tournament win would contribute 10,000 points toward her ranking, moving her into the number 2 spot on the leaderboard. She cried out when the scores came down and smiled at the crowd screaming along with her. Elle, a few yards down the beach, nodded Gia's way and sent her a congratulatory smile. Love lost or not, Gia nodded back, because as a surfer, she had mad respect for Elle, and that's what today had been about, the work. Now, it was time to celebrate. 2 days later, at exactly 7 a.m., Gia's alarm went off. Well, her version of alarm, the morning surf report. Happy to be back in her own bed, she stretched and blinked against the hint of sunlight that slid in from the nearby window as she listened to Joker Johnny outline the conditions on the local beaches. God, it was good to be home.
It's going to be a gnarly one out there today, folks. Buckle up. Lots of morning sickness on the horizon.
Perfect, she mumbled, and pushed herself out of bed.
Check it, Agros. You may be amped to hit the waves, but take it easy. Heavy winds and killer swells should dominate through the afternoon. Choppy stuff, so don't be a Barney. Stay safe, make good choices, and live to serve another rad day.
Tide is peaking at a 5.29 feet at 6:30 a.m., then drops to a 2.03 feet at 12:38 p.m. If you're looking for clean waves, sit today out. Later this week has you covered. In the meantime, bumps ahead with 13 to 15 footers on tap.
Well, that's what I'm here for, Gia said to herself in the mirror with a smile. Ring it, California. Game on. Already dressed for the waves in trunks and her jersey, Gia pushed open the door to the Cat's Pajamas, the funky little coffee shop next door to the Seven Shores apartment complex. She lived on the second floor of the 12-unit building and made daily trips to Pajamas for the best coffee in town, hands down. The fact that her best friend owned the place and her routine trips were just as social as they were functional certainly didn't hurt. Wait, Isabel said, holding up a hand. Is that number two in the surf world walking toward us? Hadley grabbed Isabel's wrist.
I think it is. She looks a lot like number three did, but somehow this woman comes with more championship swagger. I'm a little swoony to be in the presence of such a mega athlete.
All hail number two, Autumn called, and her friends broke into applause, followed by the morning patrons, most of whom were regulars. Knock it off, Gia said, though the attention gave her a boost, and the corners of her mouth tugged into a grin. She accepted the coffee from Autumn, cream, no sugar, her usual order, and took a seat with her friends for Breakfast Club, their daily morning meetup session. In just a short while, Isabel would head off to the television studio, where she worked alongside her girlfriend, Taylor, writing one of the most kick-ass shows on television. Hadley would head to Rodeo Drive and open Silhouette, the posh boutique she assistant managed. Autumn would prepare her afternoon roast and dazzle customers with her warm and welcoming personality. And Gia would head to the beach. While Venice didn't yield the kind of waves Fiji did, practice was practice, and she was not about to let up when her momentum was so strong. But for now, and almost every morning, the four of them started their days together, chatting about anything under the sun, before dashing off in different directions. She missed these mornings when she was on the road, and had grown to savor them when she was on break from the tour.
So, what did it feel like to go head-to-head with your arch-rival and win? Autumn asked. I mean, that had to be like a delicious cherry on the beach sundae.
Isabel frowned. Now I'm picturing sand in a dish. Not as sweet as you probably think, Gia said. It felt good, yeah, but it's almost like I can't revel for too long, as there's still so much work ahead.
She pointed at Autumn.
What I'm more interested in is if they're kicking yet.
Autumn placed a hand over her swollen tummy and took a seat. She was 4 months along and already starting to show.
Flutters only at this point. Kate's obsessed, however. Stares at my stomach, just waiting for that first little foot to give us a hello.
Kate and Autumn had married less than a year ago and still existed in the happy honeymoon haven, grinning whenever they caught the other's eye. Gia was happy for them.
I just need to know if these are little tiny boy babies or tiny girl babies or one of each, Hadley said with wide eyes and a sigh. I mean, I can plan a variety of unisex outfits in the meantime, but the lack of direction is keeping me up at night. Do you think they like hats? She asked Autumn. Have they indicated at all?
Hard to say. But another week and you shall have your gender answer. In the meantime, I just pray these two don't turn me into the size of a Mack truck. At least, not yet.
You're gorgeous, Gia said. I thought so as soon as I walked in.
Autumn offered a watery smile. You're going to make me cry, Gia pet. My hormones are on the attack and I have the weepies. No sincere compliments. None.
Hadley kissed Autumn's cheek with a smack and turned to Isabel.
Speaking of gorgeous people, Taylor isn't joining us today?
Nope. We spent the night apart because she has an early morning.
Hadley shook her head slowly.
You guys are the most pragmatic couple I've ever met.
Isabel's girlfriend was the well-known TV producer Taylor Andrews, who just so happened to think Isabel hung the moon. Raisin has an appointment at the vet, so she has to do this whole pep talk thing with him. Who knew dachshunds were so easily influenced? Not that it works for me, she said and shrugged. I can get him to chase a rubber pork chop, but she's able to change his whole life view in one chat. He's obsessed with her. I fault him not. Isabel turned to Gia. Oh, and she watched your finals online from her office. Said to give you a hug just from her. We can get to that later.
Gia smiled. Give her my love.
Done.
Hadley, always one for following the surfing news, sat taller in her seat.
So, what do you think of the reports that you interfered on El Britain's final wave? Not at all true, by the way.
Gia sighed. She'd heard the speculation that she'd edged Elle out of her final opportunity to score by dropping in on her wave, but she hadn't broken any rules. That was just part of the sport.
Nothing I did stopped her from going for it. If I'd interfered, I would have been docked. I wasn't.
Is that what she thinks, too? Hadley asked, the always eager information monger. That you stole her wave?
Gia passed her a look.
Are you worried about El Britain's feelings right now?
No way! I just don't like the idea of anyone being mad at you. It's not fair.
Gia softened.
In that case, hard to say. She sounded upbeat and perky at the presser after the heat. But then she always does, so.
Isabel stared at Gia, tapping her chin. She drives you crazy, doesn't she? I mean, I can just tell.
She's my competition. Gia said plainly. So yeah, plus her Miss Perfect persona is tired at this point.
Isabel looked deep in thought.
Right, but how does that make you feel? Physically, emotionally. How does the rivalry manifest itself?
Are you trying to put me in your TV show? Gia asked, leaning forward.
You are, aren't you?
Isabel was constantly studying them for hooks or story ideas, gestures, and reactions. The dangers of befriending a writer. In the year that they'd been friends, Gia had gotten better at catching her in the act. Isabel sat back in her chair, shrugging in surrender.
It's possible we're working on a rivals-to-lovers storyline on the subdivision. Just using your experience for the rivals portion I'm developing. I need sparks, you know?
Oh, sparks are good, Hadley said, resting her chin on her palm. I love sparks. Write lots of those.
No, Gia shook her head. We don't have any sparks.
Depends on the definition, Autumn said. Sometimes you spot the sparks right away, like with me and Kate. Other times they sneak up on you.
Like with me and Taylor, Isabel said with a smolder.
Gia shook her head. By any definition, we don't have them. At all. None of those kinds.
Isabel studied her.
Does she hate you back?
Probably. I've never asked.
Gotcha. Isabel drew the word out, looking super thoughtful. No sparks. But when you see her, how do you feel?
Still applies.
That part was easy.
She makes my skin itch and my blood get hot, and I just have this intense need to take her down.
As in, down to the floor? Autumn asked with a twinkle in her eye as she swapped out the creamer.
Maybe a bet?
Isabel joined in with a sideways grin. She was messing with Gia. It's what she did to them all.
The Isabel charm. Not even close, Gia answered dryly.
You guys, Hadley said, waving them off, it's not like that with them. They're like oil and water. Ursula and the Little Mermaid. Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast hooked up, Isabel said. Big time. Dancing furniture made it happen.
Hadley looked mystified. Good point.
Did you just call me a beast? Gia asked. Hadley shook her head apologetically.
I was on a cartoon kick and got carried away. Happens a lot.
Mm-hmm. Gia downed the remainder of her coffee, grateful to have it back in her life, even temporarily. Talking about El Britain just made her anxious to get to the beach and surf, remembering that every second of the season counted. Isabel wasn't done and raised one finger, regarding the table. Let's not forget the photo of Gia, in which she appeared to be checking out Ms. Britton in a swimsuit. She turned her phone around to reveal the offending photo. Gia closed her eyes. Not this again. A year and a half prior, as Elle was speaking to the media, a photographer had captured a shot of Gia looking on. However, it appeared upon first glance that Gia was infatuated with more than just Elle's words to the press. The photograph had garnered a lot of attention and speculation. She loathed that photo to this day.
That photo can go to hell. We all know it's not what it looked like.
Do we? And when do you see Miss Britton again? Isabel asked, sliding her phone into her bag. Gia swore Isabel asked the question just to see how her features would react.
Well, nosy writer, probably not until next week. There's a billabong party in Malibu I'll hit up.
Who are they again? Autumn squinted. Pregnancy brain.
Surf accessories, Hadley supplied. Clothes, gear. They also sponsor tournaments and surfers.
She turned to Gia.
Is this party beach attire?
Unfortunately, I think it's a little dressier than that. Gia glared at the thought. She hated wearing actual clothes.
Perfect! When should we consult? Hadley asked, always ready to put together the perfect outfit for her friends. Gia wasn't one to refuse that kind of professional help. I'm thinking white. Your tan looks amazing in white, as does that dark hair.
White it is, Gia said.
I will put something together and we can play runway in a few days.
It's fun when you get to play runway, Isabel said. The time Hadley planned my look, I got lucky that night, and many nights after.
Hadley's eyes lit up. That should go on my commercial, if I were ever to get a commercial.
Well, Isabel said with a saucy wink, you'd have earned it. She stood. I'm off to save Hollywood.
Hadley joined her. Off to save Rodeo Drive.
I'll stay here and save the good people of pajamas, Autumn said from her chair. They all looked to Gia. Fine, she said with a smothered smile. I'm off to save the ocean, I guess.
Someone has to, Hadley said, beaming. Go team!
The four of them headed off to their own separate corners of the world. Maybe they'd run into each other in the outdoor courtyard of Seven Shores later that day, or go for an impromptu dinner or a jaunt to the beach. If not, they'd see each other again at pajamas the next morning. Same bat time, same bat place. Gia smiled at that constant in her life. She didn't devalue it or toss it aside. Coming off the road like she just had made her understand more than ever how important good friends were. She'd slay dragons for Autumn, Hadley, or Isabel any day of the week. No one would have to ask her twice.
Chapter 2 I think you should stop beating yourself up about it. Elle pulled her hair from the ponytail holder and gave it a shake, noticing it was still partially wet from their earlier practice session. She turned to her best friend, Holly, who sat beside her on a chaise lounge, just yards from the ocean.
I've tried, Elle sighed.
The depression over the whole thing was not letting up. It's not working. I don't lose in final heats, Hall. I just don't. That's not the kind of competitor I want to be, so what the hell happened? I think we know what happened. Someone dropped in on a wave that was supposed to be yours and wasn't penalized for interference. Not something I would have done, but it worked in her favor. She stared off in the distance, replaying that moment in her mind. She'd been about to attack the wave from the outside pocket when Gia Malone had shown up in her peripheral and knocked her out of concentration. Partially her own fault, but Gia had taken a pretty big liberty. "Ballsy," Holly said. "You gotta give her credit. She was trying to apply pressure." "Yeah, well, it worked." Elle shook her head. "Gia Malone. This tournament bumped her to number 2. I'm so exhausted from it all that I can barely see straight. But now? There's no way I can lay up or take any kind of break. She's getting better, you know."
"I do."
"And I'm not." Holly balked and tossed her bouncy dark hair that fell just shy of her chin. That bouncy hair was the most expressive hair Elle had ever seen. She envied Holly for it.
"You're so hard on yourself that I don't know what to do with you. I want to smack you in your head over it. Do you know how desperately I would kill someone to surf like you do, you little surfing prodigy?"
"Yes," Elle said glumly. "I should shut up, but I can't. I'm that competitive. My off switch is broken."
"No explanation needed. I've met you."
She and Holly had grown up together in San Diego, surfing every minute they had available to them before moving to L.A. just out of high school. Elle had always been the stronger surfer and had been good enough to pursue professional surfing at just 16. Holly had not. So while Elle hit up whatever tournaments her parents could scrape together the funds for, Holly had entered the world of finance, starting off as a teller at a bank and climbing the ranks to loan officer. Elle might possess the flashier lifestyle, but she admired Holly and the place she'd carved for herself in the world. Solid, stable, easy. Plus, she didn't have to travel the way Elle did.
"You're a wave weasel is what you are," Holly said, poking her in the ribs.
Elle grimaced at the childhood nickname Holly had assigned her and squirmed from her touch with a squeal.
"I'm not a wave weasel. That's something you made up. I keep telling you."
"Don't argue. You're a wave weasel and always will be." Holly glanced at her watch. "Is it after 4?
"It is."
"You know what that means. Rosé."
4 feels early when I'm in training."
"Well, that's dumb. It's not. I'll snag 2 glasses." Elle shrugged.
"You never listen to me. I'm the level-headed one."
"And I'm the fun one, so pipe down."
Hey! Elle called after her. "I'm fun! Come on!"
"Once in a while. Not as often as you used to be." Elle bristled at the probably accurate statement. Holly told it like it was. Yes, she'd been wildly focused on her career and the media responsibilities that came with it. Wasn't her fault the requests kept pouring in. She knew how to work the press, to smile in just the right way or toss her hair when she laughed. They were skills like any other that she'd developed over time, especially once she learned how valuable they could be. When Holly returned to Elle's deck with 2 glasses of rosé, Elle sent her a pout.
"Am I really that bad? Please tell me I'm not. I don't want to become boring and set in my ways."
Holly stared at her. "You're an obsessed zombie hell-bent on world surf domination. You're admittedly exhausted from it all, but you won't give yourself a break. I, your much more carefree friend, miss the version of you that lived a little more, allowed yourself a night out on the town."
"I go out on the town."
"You have a million dinners with acquaintances. It's what you do. Everyone knows your name, but how many people actually know you? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you went on a date?"
"I don't date," Elle said. "Look at my life. It never works. When would I date?"
"Therein lies the problem. You're turning into a spinster." She shuddered. "There are cobwebs on your lady parts.
allow me to remedy this awful trend and set you up with a buddy of Dash's from the bank. Finance guys are hot. We can double. Won't you allow me this pleasure? She didn't love the idea, but she fought the urge to decline.
What are Dash's friends like?
Probably a little like Dash, but he's a decent catch. You like Dash?
Of course I like Dash, she said, already dreading the idea.
Holly and Dash had dated casually for the last 6 months. The guy was good-natured enough, if a little boring for Elle's liking. Plus, the men Elle had dated in the past were often intimidated by her, or interested only because she was well-known. There didn't seem to be a lot of middle ground, which was why she'd shelved the process altogether. There were other things to focus on. More exciting things.
You're never going to find the right one if you don't look for him.
Fine, set it up, Elle huffed. Though her expectations were dialed to low, at least no one could accuse her of not trying. Holly took a moment. She turned her head and regarded Elle suspiciously out of the corner of her eye.
That was too easy. Is the other shoe about to drop?
I only have one proverbial shoe. You made a valid point, and guess what? I listened to you.
And you won't cancel, even if the Tonight Show calls?
This was hard. I won't cancel.
And when you marry this guy and have 18 children, you'll thank Aunt Holly and make everyone toast to her and her matchmaking ways. Elle shook her head in wonder, not quite sure whether to thank Holly or slug her.
Sure, whatever you say.
That's what I'm talking about, Holly said, and clinked her glass to Elle's. Two hot chicks like us, out on the town.
I don't want to be called a hot chick.
Yes, you do. She grinned at her friend and took a sip of rosé.
Maybe a little.
3 days later, and Elle had changed her outfit at least 4 different times. What was one supposed to wear on a date with a banker? Her dark pink flirty dress would make her look too frivolous, and her black pleated cocktail number seemed severe when she tried it on. Even her middle-of-the-road sundresses made Elle second-guess ever agreeing to this date in the first place. Indecision was so unlike her. In the end, she'd gone with her peach sleeveless dress with the thin beige belt. Simple meant classic, and that worked. If Christopher, or whatever his name was, hated it, well, that was on him. She sighed at herself in the mirror one last time. When she arrived at Holly's house, a cute little one-story, not far from Elle's place along Hermosa Beach, she didn't bother knocking. Their relationship was beyond knocks and doorbells. She found Holly standing behind her couch, remote control in hand, and a giant version of Elle laughing on the television.
Talk show you is so upbeat.
Talk show me has to be. Holly turned to her.
True, she's like regular you turned up 3 notches. It works, though. I mean, look at your endorsement deals. You smile and show your abs and stuff sells. People like you. If it helps pay my tournament entry fees, I'm more than willing to add some pep to my step. I'm nervous. It all came out like one run-on sentence.
Holly took a moment to unravel the words.
You're nervous Christopher won't like you? That's insane. He's going to think you're as adorable and hot as the rest of the world does.
No, Elle said simply. I'm nervous we're not going to click, and you'll be disappointed in me, and think I didn't try and that I suck at dating, and I don't like to suck at anything. I'm type A. Get it now? Holly looked confused and continued to proverbially scratch her head as she rounded the couch to take a seat.
Humor me. Okay. Here's what I don't understand. Whenever there's any sort of event covered by the media, you have a guy on your arm, and you look like you're having the time of your life, but it never goes anywhere.
Yeah, but those aren't dates. Those are friends or acquaintances who have agreed to go with me.
You click with them?
I don't know if click is the word, but we have a great time. It's different, I don't know.
She thought on it, looking for a way to better explain herself.
Those arrangements come with a much smaller commitment. One evening and some nice conversation versus working toward more.
And you don't have sex with any of them?
Elle laughed. Honestly, who has time for sex these days?
Riddle me this, Batman.
She was nervous about where this was going.
Okay. Do you want more? Level with me. If the answer is no, I'll stop trying to set you up.
I do want more, yeah.
A pause.
I mean, probably. There was just never a person she'd wanted that more with. That was the core issue. Maybe not everyone was wired for an ongoing relationship. And while that made her sad on one hand, she also took pride in her self-awareness on the other. Maybe she was destined to focus on her career goals and leave the white picket fence and Facebook official relationship statuses to someone else. Maybe. Or maybe she just hadn't met the right person yet. Maybe she would meet him tonight and put this whole issue to rest. That would be nice, right? To finally feel like a functioning person, just like everyone else. 20 minutes later, she smiled into warm, dark eyes. The guy Holly had set her up with really was a looker. She had to give her credit. Elle, meet Christopher Van Camp. He's a good friend of Dash's.
Hi, Elle Britton, she said and extended her hand.
Christopher, nice to meet you.
She nodded and took in his perfectly tailored sport coat and color block tie. Not too flashy, but still fashion-forward.
Likewise.
His hand was much larger as he closed it over hers. Firm, but not too firm on the shake. That was promising. Things were looking up.
I've heard many great things about you, he said. Dash and Holly are big fans of yours.
He blushed, hearing how that sounded, and closed his eyes momentarily.
I am, too. I didn't mean to imply otherwise. I'm a fan of your surfing.
She nodded, letting him struggle. It was cute.
I just meant that they spoke highly of you, as a person.
He glanced from Holly to Dash and back to Elle again.
I'm adult, and hopefully you can forgive the last 30 seconds.
You're doing great, Holly said dryly, and then blossomed into a reassuring smile and a shoulder bump. Elle loves bumbling suitors. Tells me all the time. Elle grinned.
I do.
Holly's humor worked, and Christopher seemed to relax.
Then maybe tonight will be a good one for me.
His eyes crinkled slightly, and Elle decided she already liked him. He could be in a cologne ad. She passed Holly a secret look that said, well done. Holly winked back. Remembering her tricks of the trade, Elle made sure to light up as she turned to Dash, who she'd yet to greet. His sandy blonde hair had less product than usual tonight and fell casually onto his forehead. She had no doubt that was Holly's doing.
Hi, Dash!
She pulled him into a warm embrace.
Are you caught up on Game of Thrones yet?
She kissed his cheek.
Say yes.
Not yet. No spoilers.
How are we ever going to bond over this show if you don't hurry up?
She teased. You're turning into a TV slacker.
I'm caught up, Christopher said.
See? Elle pointed at him. The new guy is lapping you.
Dash turned to Chris and slapped him on the back.
Yeah, well, tell her what you do for a living, new guy. I manage funds, which means I can work from home.
I work for the man, Dash said. Chris is on his own schedule.
How awesome, Elle said, looping her arm through his as they headed for the door.
Me too. Elle had a fantastic time at dinner. While her heart longed for the fettuccine Alfredo, her head made her order the salad with lots of extra chicken because victory didn't come to the weak. Luckily, the quality of the company made up for the loss. The four of them killed some wine and after-dinner drinks, and before she knew it, they'd been sitting around that table for more than 2 hours, shooting the breeze, laughing as she got to know Christopher.
You're really great, you know that?
Christopher said quietly in her ear as Holly and Dash argued about who had noticed who first at work. His breath tickled her ear, and she resisted the urge to pull away a little bit.
I'm not just saying that. I was nervous about tonight, but you really put me at ease.
It's what she did best. Elle had always been a people person and got along with most everyone. The fact that Christopher just happened to be an easy guy to talk to only helped the process.
I almost canceled, she told him and then pulled a face, a guilty one.
but I can safely say that I'm very happy I didn't." The confession seemed to have inspired Christopher, and he glanced behind them.
"This restaurant has a really cool garden out back, and a gazebo. Want to go check it out?"
She did. He took her hand, and they excused themselves to Holly and Dash, who grinned at them victoriously. Once outside, they took a lap from the deck to the walkway, which was lined with tiny white lights. "I've always loved this restaurant," Elle told him, "but I've never been back here."
"So that means I've scored a point?"
She liked the way his eyes twinkled, mysterious yet proud. Elle smiled and squeezed his hand.
"One point for you. Deal."
"Earlier tonight you talked about traveling for your job. Do you enjoy it?"
She considered the question. "Sometimes more than others. Seeing new places never gets old, but I miss the stability of home. Waking up in my own bed. I have a little house on the water not far from Holly's on Hermosa Beach."
"It's a great neighborhood. Maybe one day I'll see your place."
She slapped at his arm playfully.
"Christopher, my word, you're forward."
He caught her lighthearted tone and laughed. "A guy's gotta try."
"Does a guy?" she asked. "Does he?" She was flirting. Even she could tell that much. And it was fun. He was. Their eyes locked, and it got very quiet. They could still hear the distant chatter and ambient music from inside the restaurant. He leaned in slowly, giving her enough time to say no if she didn't want him to kiss her. She appreciated that opt-out, as a lot of guys didn't offer it. She stood her ground and met his lips when they hovered just shy of hers. The kiss was fine, a little wet and soft. She wouldn't expound upon it later in a diary she didn't own. She wouldn't gush about it to Holly, or relive it as she lay in bed that night. But fine was a big endorsement in Elle's book. She would chalk fine up to a win. As he pulled his lips from hers, Chris met her gaze.
"Can I see you again?"
She nodded. "I was hoping so." The foursome laughed their way to Holly's place, where Elle bid them all good night. She needed to be up with the waves in the morning and had a whole workout planned beforehand. A run on the beach, weights, and her least favorite, abs.
Christopher walked her to her car, and Dash followed Holly inside, no doubt for a little one-on-one time.
"Don't lose anybody's money this week," Elle said sweetly. He covered his heart as if her words had pierced it like an arrow.
"I'll forgive you because you don't know how good I am at my job." She leaned back against her white VW Beetle with a beige convertible top. She'd drop the top, she decided, once she got inside. The night was too perfect not to.
"Thank you for dinner."
"I had a great time," Christopher said. "Even the part where you made fun of me for watching cartoons."
"Well, you are a grown man and should really look into that."
"Only because it was you who suggested it."
His lips were on hers again. It was a good night kiss, and to be expected after the kind of date they just had. A simpler kiss this time. Less movement of his lips over hers, and neither tongue made an appearance, though their lips were slightly parted. Was it odd that she spent the time analyzing the logistics of the kiss, rather than focusing on the romance of it? Shouldn't she be lost in the heat? The exciting connection to another person she actually really liked? She wasn't, though. Her end conclusion? The kiss was, again, fine. She drove home, top down, with her spirits hovering slightly above status quo. Holly had done well this time, and she hoped to see Christopher again someday soon. In the meantime, she had two things to worry about. 3 press appearances that week, and massive amounts of training before the next stop on the tour. Bring on the waves.
Chapter 3 The billabong party was packed, close to overflowing. The music pulsed and the drinks flowed freely as everyone who was anyone in the surf community mingled or danced or sucked up to the person they needed to suck up to the most. All part of the game. Gia knew there'd be a lot of industry folks in attendance, but the fact that she could barely walk 3 feet without bumping into someone who wanted to chat or take a photo with her had her worn down on smiles. She didn't mind the people themselves. They were great. But she had trouble staying on for an extended period of time. Regardless, she forced yet another smile as she and her agent of 3 years, Gwendolyn, made their way across the crowded warehouse of a restaurant rented out entirely for the event. Gwendolyn stayed very close to Gia's ear as they walked. She was like a hawk when it came to these events, looking to capitalize on any possible networking opportunity. While it was good for Gia's career in the long run, she'd much rather be surfing.
"Don't be obvious," Gwendolyn said, "but over there is an up-and-coming tournament sponsor."
"Oh, yeah?"
Gia fist-bumped Lindy Ives, a fellow surfer, as they passed. She'd have to catch up with her later. Gwendolyn wasn't done.
"Some sort of new spicy corn chip company with lots of venture capital dollars to help put them on the map. And do you see that guy?"
She pointed with her eyebrows, which was, come on, impressive.
"That's Theo Towbridge, their marketing guru. Make nice with him. He has money to spend."
"Got it."
Gia nodded and sipped her sparkling water. No alcohol for her tonight. She'd noticed a dip in her timed sprints that she should remedy.
"You look stunning, by the way," Gwendolyn said.
"Fantastic look."
Gia laughed.
"Thank you. My friend helps dress me. But don't I pay you to say that?"
"Last I looked, it wasn't in my job description, but it's true, sweetheart."
Gwendolyn was a good 15 years older than Gia and had taken on the maternal older sister role in her life.
"Well then, I will tell my personal stylist."
In other words, she'd high-five Hadley, who had come through as always, putting together slim black pants with a flowing white top that showed off the physique she'd worked so hard on. She pulled her hair back and let it fall to her shoulders, which Hadley said was a softer look for her.
"Well, son of a bitch," Gwendolyn said in a huff.
Gia swiveled and followed her eyeline to see Elle Britton chatting up the corn chip guy. She had to laugh. Of course Elle would already be in the know and 2 steps ahead of Gia, sparkling like the crown jewel. Gia watched as she laughed along with that Theo guy, touching his forearm briefly and nodding along with whatever he was saying. If there was a networking playbook, Elle had surely worn it out cover to cover, if she hadn't written the damned thing herself. Gwendolyn gave her a shove.
"We gotta get you over there."
Gia balked as they moved toward Elle and Theo.
"Why?" she hissed.
"Because you never know when you're going to need additional sponsorship, and a juicy, plump endorsement deal wouldn't hurt your portfolio. You don't have enough of them. Now, get over there and play in the sandbox." She hated the reality, but Gwendolyn had a point. Given her high ranking on the tour, she really should be pulling in more from external sources. She tended to shy away from those opportunities unless pushed.
All right, I'll talk to him."
She glanced back at Gwendolyn.
"You're a bulldog."
Gwendolyn growled in response. It frightened her. She gave herself a quick shake and brightened into a smile.
"Well, if it isn't the rankings climber herself,"
Theo said as she approached them. He shook her hand heartily.
"Gia Malone, your name's all over the place these days. Theo Trowbridge, marketing director for trainers. Nice to meet you."
"Likewise, I'm a fan of your product."
A stretch.
Corn chips were corn chips.
Apparently, trainers were a healthy alternative to the stuff already on the market. That's about all she knew. Elle grinned at Gia like they were best friends. But then, she did that with everyone.
"How are you tonight, Gia?"
"It's a good night. And you?"
"I'm having a fantastic time. Everyone looks great."
Well, no one really came close to Elle. Her hair was down and a little wavy tonight in an understated, glamorous kind of way. She wore a patterned skirt and a sleeveless top that really brought out the blue of her eyes. Not that Gia had noticed. Though the men in the room sure seemed to, stealing not-so-discreet glances at Elle's legs as they passed. The world was a virtual meat market.
"Wait,"
Theo said, glancing between the two of them.
Have you two seen each other since Fiji and the big final?
Not since Fiji, no,
Elle said sweetly.
His eyes widened. So this might be a little awkward. I read about the controversy.
He made a face that said, yikes. Gia held her smile. Tried to.
I don't think there was anything too controversial about that final.
He seemed thoughtful.
A lot of folks thought there might be an interference call on that last wave of L's you dropped in on.
I didn't drop in. I wasn't anywhere near L, Gia told him calmly.
I think she would agree that she had every opportunity to capitalize on that wave outside of any interference from me.
L held her thumb and forefinger close together.
You were a little close.
That's not what you said at the press conference afterward.
Gia felt her defenses flare, though she would hold that damn smile if it killed her.
Well, that was neither the time or place. Did you take some liberty on that drop-in?
Yes, but those press events should be more about the love of the sport. If there had been popcorn nearby, Theo would have grabbed a bowl as he listened in fascinated amusement. This was probably not what Gwendolyn had had in mind.
I guess I try to be upfront and honest with whoever I'm speaking with.
Elle's perfect smile faltered.
Why have you decided that I'm disingenuous?
You just kind of said so.
Theo's head swiveled to Elle for her response, and Gia inwardly cringed. She was behaving badly in front of a potential networking mark. Elle scoffed uncharacteristically. It was nice to know she was capable.
You know what? Never mind.
Theo held up a hand.
I'm sensing some hostility.
Not at all, Elle said, brightening, probably remembering where she was. Just some post-tournament playback. Gia and I have always had a healthy, if not competition-laced, respect for each other, right?
Gia shrugged. Sure.
And then thought better and amended that.
Yes, we have. Just what I was hoping you'd say. I have a proposition for you both.
Gia and Elle exchanged an uneasy glance.
For the two of them?
And what would that be?
Elle asked.
A trainer's campaign featuring the two of you, highlighting the rivalry in the water and out. You'd be joint spokespersons and the stars of our campaign.
There's no rivalry, Elle said, as if it were the easiest thing in the world.
Theo raised an eyebrow.
I beg to differ, and so do most surf fans. But even the people who have no clue who you are will love the spots we'll put together for you.
Gia was skeptical.
So you're proposing an ad campaign based on...
The race for number one, Theo supplied.
Who's going to end up with the top ranking by the time this season closes out?
Gia could tell from Elle's understated smirk that she didn't really think the ranking was up for grabs. Gia knew differently. If she could turn in just a handful of successful tournament showings and take Elle down another time or two, she'd have the points. It wouldn't be easy, but it wasn't outside the realm of possibility. She was currently two in the world. World champion was within her grasp, and she was making steady progress. Apparently, others had noticed. Elle paused and adjusted a strand of hair off her cheek.
It's an intriguing proposition.
And would you look at that? Theo ran with the encouragement, looking like a dog with a giant, meat-filled bone. He stepped forward, energized.
I see commercials, magazine ads, billboards, all cleverly put together and all showcasing trainers. Listen, the chips are about a healthier snack option. And what sport showcases athleticism and the human physique the way surfing does?
Gwendolyn would kill her if she balked.
I guess I'm with Elle. Sounds cool, but maybe we can get a few more details to fully understand where you're headed.
He nodded.
I'll draw up a formal proposal and send it over to your people. He pointed at each of them. This could be a really fantastic partnership.
I, for one, hope so, Elle said.
Me too, Gia lied. I'll leave you to your bickering then, he said, eyes dancing, as if he'd just located his own personal pot of gold. And please, whatever you do, keep it up.
Once they were alone, Elle turned to her.
If we do this, we have to pinky promise each other that we'll keep it classy.
Gia turned her face and regarded Elle out of the side of her eye.
Did you just say the words pinky promise?
Is that too pedestrian for you?
It's too sixth grade for me.